The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Sunday, the 24th of March. I'm host Casey Shapiro on blogtalkradio.com via our host, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. Typically, we start our show a half hour before the new episode airs live, each week, with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being horrible, 10 being perfect. And commentary during the commercial breaks. We'll also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Call in to speak with the hosts if you want at 914-338-0314. And you can do that anytime tonight. And it's better if you do it between 8:30 and 9 p.m. because that way we have time to talk for a minute. If you call during the live show, you can still call in, but you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, then join us in our live chat room, where you'll be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we usually post the links for that on our Facebook page and on my Twitter. So if you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. I'm going to pause real quick and say thank you and welcome to one of our regulars who is a big help to me each week. Thanks, Joan, for being in the chat room. Always a pleasure and a help. So, welcome to Season 9, Episode 15 of The Walking Dead. Tonight's episode is entitled The Calm Before. We have one episode left in Season 9 after tonight. The official AMC synopsis is: the fair at the kingdom is underway, with all four communities coming together in celebration for the first time in years. While some pacts are renewed, other deals will come at a much steeper price. And as we usually do, I have additional synopses from other sources that write about the show, and I've pulled one up here. So this first one is from UndeadWalking.com. And I'm going to move over to that and pull that up for you guys. This is by one of their regular... I'm going to check real quick and see if Joan has anything to add. Not at the moment. So let's go ahead and read this off to you guys. So this was posted 3 days ago. This is it, TWD family. The penultimate episode of The Walking Dead Season 9 arrives with the calm before. Pardon, I had to sneeze. With this being the last episode before the season finale, you can imagine that it's anything but calm. Season 9 has been a refreshing change of pace for the zombie show that has seen so many cast members come and go as life in the apocalypse trudges along. The previous episode, Scars, was important to establish who was at the kingdom for the fair, while also revealing why Michonne was so worried about letting people in. But in reliving her past, Michonne came to terms with making sure she doesn't lose the people around her forever. Episode description, which I just read to you, so I won't repeat that. Skipping down. This week's episode promises to pack a powerful punch for the show. With the fair underway and the whisperers looming, nothing good can come from this. Henry took a big risk going on his rescue mission to save Lydia, and Daryl took a big risk stealing them back from the Whisperer camp. Alpha isn't going to take this lightly. In order to save Henry and Lydia, Daryl and Connie had to unleash a herd of walkers into the Whisperer camp. Alpha won't take that lightly either. though she's already shown she can do some pretty awful things, the Walking Dead fans are about to see what Alpha is really capable of doing, and it's downright terrifying. And that's the end of that. I'm just going to say in here, the last couple of weeks, and you know, Joan and I have had discussions about this. There's been a lot of hype about the Whisperers, and maybe this is the episode that will put up or shut up for me. But so far, I really don't feel that Alpha has lived into the hype that we keep getting. And Beta has to a point, but truthfully, they were not what I expected. So we'll see. All right, let's move on to the next synopsis for you guys. The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before. This one is from comicbook.com. Let me pull that up. I'm going to check the chat room. No comments from Joan, so we're moving on. This one is from Brandon Davis, one of their regular writers about the show. And he says, on Sunday night, AMC will air a shocking new episode of The Walking Dead. It is the 15th episode of the current 9th season, meaning there will only be one more episode before a long hiatus leading into Season 10, which is expected to debut in October. Official synopsis again, skipping again, and additionally, they mention writers and directors, which I get to it later in the segment. I will mention this again in the trivia, but just to let you know, because Brandon mentions it here, tonight's episode has an extended runtime and is going to go through 10:25. So, Joan, take note. Hopefully, you can stay with us. Without commercials, if you don't count that part, the episode itself has actual footage of 57 minutes. Heading into this penultimate episode, and everybody's using this word. It's a really cool word, and I suppose it fits, but I feel like it's been overused in the marketing materials for this and the hype. Anyway, the penultimate episode of Season 9, many fans are expecting to see an iconic and brutal moment from Robert Kirkman's work brought to life on the television screens. And I'm not going to read parts of this next sentence because it's comic stuff. We know that this is comic stuff, and there are going to be parallels, but who knows if they'll deliver it the way that the comic did. Suffice to say that large chunks of tonight's plot are also in the comic. There is Whisperer stuff from the comic that is supposed to happen tonight, and I'm not going to detail it. I'm just going to say that in the comic, there are several main characters that are involved in this scene. So we will see if they do what happens in the comics. We will see if they do it to the people that it happens in the comics. But it's supposed to be pretty brutal and pretty landmarky. It is the episode that is leading up to the season finale. So I'm sure, and also this one is tied together with the season finale because you have The Calm Before. Next week's episode is The Storm. And so obviously these are sister episodes of some kind. So it's probably fair to look at it as a two-part season finale as far as the gravitas of the script and so on. So that is the end of that synopsis, leaving out the chunk about comics because we don't do that. Let's move on to Fansided at UndeadWalking.com. This one says, The Walking Dead panel predictions for episode 915, The Calm Before. This is by Sonia Irina, Irina. She is also a writer for Fansided at WalkingDead.com. And when she says panel, there are writers about the show that are on their staff, and they have a panel. And they left out Sarah Beth Pollock, but they'll explain that in a minute. So she says, our panel members share their predictions for the Walking Dead episode that fans are already talking about, The Calm Before. Speculation about what is to come in The Walking Dead 915, The Calm Before is already running rampant on social media because there will be another face-off with Alpha, Beta, and the Whisperers this week, and the chances are good that not everyone will walk away from that alive. In the preview video for The Calm Before, it does look like the fair happens and the communities come together, but there's also an intense scene with Alpha, Beta, and the survivors, which indicates there will be some conflict. There will be conflict, whatever, if not death in this episode as well. And I have some comments about that when we get to who's on the Talking Dead couch. This week's episode lines up with an iconic moment from the comics, blah, 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 stuff I'm not reading to you. Sometimes the show follows a story in the comic, but other times it remixes the story arcs and characters, so there's no guarantee that the moment comic fans are waiting for happens in the show, although it looks likely. Anytime Alpha makes an appearance, there's a 50-50 chance of someone getting killed. So what will happen in The Walking Dead the comic before? Here's some speculation from our panel, except for Sarah Beth Pollock, who's already seen the episode because we just read her review. So she is abstaining from speculating about it. The calm before. Sonia says, I think the show will stick close to the comic on this one, and there will be some deaths. Alpha is not playing around, and now she's going to want to make an example of what happens when you cross her. So I think the survivors are going to suffer a lot for Henry's actions. Sarah says, and this is not Sarah Beth Pollock, this is someone else. Actually, I'm looking real quick to see if they identify who was on the panel. I don't see the names for that. Maybe they're at the bottom. I don't know. Anyway, Sarah is another one of the writers. She says, big deaths are definitely on the horizon since the Whisperers have not told Alpha that Lydia is headed to the kingdom. From the previews we saw, all I can think is that survivors do not have the upper hand here. Alpha's going to get her revenge. I'm completely nervous and scared, more than I was when Negan showed up. I think the episode may be just one of the most intense episodes of The Walking Dead yet. I think Negan was pretty big. It made a lot of people stop watching the show, but that's me. And Jeffrey says, I'm thinking we're about to witness the formal declaration of war from the Whisperers against the United Communities. Alpha is someone who is cold and calculated, so I expect nothing less than a full show of just how powerful and organized the Whisperers are. The fact that the fair is about to begin and people from all the communities are together in one place is a worrying fact. Negan's lineup kicked off the war between the communities and the Saviors, so I'm expecting a Whisperer version of this. We already lost Jesus to these people, but I definitely don't think he will be the last casualty of the conflict. I'm thinking we're about to say farewell to a significant number of our cast of characters in bloody fashion. And they do have a comment from Sarah Beth. My lips are sealed, but it's going to be a big episode. Yes, we know, of course, because of how it's lined up. And again, my own personal commentary is that obviously from the promo materials and lots of hints and things that are going on, I know it's going to be big and I know there's going to be some deaths, but I feel like there's a lot of hype going on compared to some of the things that have already happened in this show. So I don't know. We'll see. Let me see if Joan has any comments. Joan has several comments. Apologies for looking away for too long. So let's go ahead and go back and go over what she's saying until before I read you the next article. It's 8:43, so we get a little time. So Joan adds, we can only hope that they will finally put up. Alpha did say that if they didn't give Lydia back the first time, there would be consequences. Ooh, consequence. Joan also says, makes me wonder what she'll do now that our group took Lydia away, with or without Lydia's permission. And Joe says, oh man, that means the Talking Dead won't start until almost 11:30. They're trying to kill me. I have news for you, Joan. I'm going to skip ahead to a piece of trivia. The Talking Dead is not going to start until after the episode of Into the Badlands. I'll get the actual starting time for you when I get down to the trivia, but they're going to show a show before they show the Talking Dead. I'm pretty pissed about it too, because I don't like to have to stay up through another episode of something else to have to wait for it. Then she says, if this scene is what I think it is, think it may be, they likely don't have all of the same characters as in the comics, but I do know of a couple and I'm hoping no. Yes, that's also another very good point. Even if they do a scene that's from the comics, I know for sure that at least three characters that I think are involved in the comic stuff, you know, I don't study it that hard and I try to avoid it, but I see snips of things. And I know at least three people involved in that who aren't even in the plot now, and a couple people that have nothing to do with it that are here, so I don't know what'll happen. And then she says, I don't know about it being that intense either. The Negan killing Abraham and Glenn thing was pretty intense. I think that is one of the most intense. That's my personal opinion. And just also the results of how many people whined about that scene and how many people said, I'm not watching the show anymore because they killed Glenn. Whatever. You know, you got zombies running around, you have bikers trying to rape Carl, and Rick bites his throat out with his teeth, and Carol's shooting kids in the head. And I'm going to say a side note while I brought that up. You know, last week's episode was pretty cool and I liked it, But in thinking back on it, I do kind of feel like way too much was made of it because of all the other history that's happened. Michonne is by far not the first character who's not a bad guy that was involved in killing a child. Hello, Lizzie, look at the flowers. So I know Carol hasn't sent, well, she sent herself away, but I don't even think it was about Lizzie. That was other things for her. Anyhow, that is the last bit of commentary from that article. And the next one is not exactly a synopsis, but it's commentary about this episode. So this is from cinemablend.com. This is not one of our usual resources, but this was an interesting article, so I wanted to read it to you. And this is by Gina Carbone, C-A-R-B-O-N-E, and I assume it's not Carbone, but anyway. The title is, The Walking Dead Season 9's Fair Episode Will Make You Cry, Norman Reedus Warns. Okay, so, The Walking Dead Season 9 has only 2 episodes left, and you're going to need tissues. You know what that means? Death is coming. Actually, overwhelming loss, so lots and lots of death. Better break out the Daryl crying gif. Episode 15, The Calm Before, is the big fair episode we've been worried about. Norman Reedus issues a warning on that one, but also promises something brand new in the episode 16 finale, which is called The Storm. And Norman says, quote, the next episode brings some Kleenex. It's gnarly. I mean, it's so heavy. Get ready. The last episode has a look to it that we've never done before, and he means 16, not the last one before now. It's a brand new look of the show. It's phenomenal. And you know how they are about spoilers, so this is about all he can say. Norman Reedus shared that warning in his recent visit to The Tonight Show. The brand new look of the show may be connected to weather. Oh, come on. We know there's a snow blizzard. Jesus Christ, not a secret. Since the episode 16 finale synopsis mentions a blizzard. Snowman zombies. Speaking of the heavy penultimate episode, here we go again with that word. Airing this weekend, though, you know Father Gabriel actor Seth, is it Gilliam or Gilliam? I assume it's Gilliam. Has already warned of shocking deaths ahead in season 9, which, you know, there's not much left of. He said that on Talking Dead, and there haven't been shocking deaths since that point, at least not of people that we know and love. No one that would make us cry. Sounds like that's changing tomorrow, meaning tonight, because this was written yesterday. AMC synopsis, which we're skipping. The Walking Dead has been teasing that fair all season, getting comic book fans nervous for what it might mean for the TV version of the show. Based on the promo, you can bet there will be a tie-in to the ongoing clash with Alpha and the Whisperers. That does sound like a cool band name. In the episode 15 promo, it looks like Beta returns, and Daryl Dixon is put in a tight spot. They wouldn't dare kill off Daryl Dixon, right? Norman Reedus just signed a major contract, basically making him the new Andrew Lincoln, since Rick Grimes is now missing and will only show up again in those TV movies. Yes, by the way, we happen to know that Norman Reedus signed a 3-year contract, as did Melissa McBride. Yes, so we know now that they are at least going up 10, 11, 12 to season 12, contractually obligated. And we know those two are going to be part of it, or at least they've contracted them to be. So I don't know how that works if you contract them for so many seasons and then if you kill them early. I don't know if that's a contract violation. Everyone else is probably fair game, though. Get it? Fair game? You get it. This is what they say in the article. Don't look at me. The TV show does not always follow the comics, as we know. And there are many differences in the current AMC show and Robert Kirkman's ongoing series. But the comics are a touchstone. And this fair episode will probably be one for the bloody books. I'm curious about what's next in the finale. Game of Thrones early seasons were known for having major events in the penultimate episodes, then showing the fallout in the finale. Should we expect something like that? The Walking Dead season 9 episode 15 is called The Calm Before, with the episode 16 finale as The Storm. That doesn't make it sound like the finale will be winding down from big events. Here's the synopsis for The Storm, which references overwhelming loss as well as a literal storm. So this is the tagline for next week. I do have access to that, and I could have read it for you guys. But since it's in the article, I'll go ahead and read it. So the trailer for The Storm, the synopsis is, in the aftermath of an overwhelming loss, the communities must brave a ferocious blizzard. As one group deals with an enemy from within, another is forced to make a life or death decision. May I add, is if it's blizzard season in the D.C. area, these guys should have been acting like there's frost and seeing your breath and all that other happy crap quite some time ago. Although, to be fair, in D.C. these days, in real life, we don't really have seasons. We have weeks. Like this week it will be winter. Next week it's get your shirts out. That's my commentary. Going back to the article. Loving the idea of a blizzard. Usually weather is only a factor on The Walking Dead to showcase the humidity of Georgia where they film. The Walking Dead films from May to November, late November, early December, so the season ended production right before the start of winter for Atlanta. It's fun to actually see some seasonal change on screen. We'll be in mourning by then for whoever we lose this weekend at the fair. Any guesses on the casualties beyond red shirts? Blah, 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 blah. That is the end of that one. Okay, let's check on Joan and see if she's got further commentary. And she did say a couple things. Okay. Yeah, that's me too, since I've never read the comics. I'm surprised by that because you know several things about the comics when I didn't. But sometimes can't help seeing comparisons. She says, I expected Glenn. We all did. I was upset, but more pissed at Abraham going, I think. I also find it kind of nice that Michael Cutlitz has been re-involved as a director and doing some helping things with a couple of episodes. I think he may be directing or writing another one coming up. Oh, Joseph, sounds like DC is trying to emulate Florida. Well, no, honey, Florida does not get 3 feet of snow. and we don't get, you know, gators and palmetto bugs. Those things are vile. I lived in Atlanta for a few years, so I had to see those stupid things. Okay, so that is the end of that one. And then I've got one more article that functions as a synopsis. This was from last week when I mentioned in the, you know, missing people sort of thing, we've been talking about Oceanside. This is an article from comicbook.com from March 9th about The Walking Dead bringing back missing community. And I wanted to read you guys that before tonight opens so that you had some background on that. So this is also by Brandon Davis from March 9th. And he says, The Walking Dead appears to be bringing back a community which has not been seen since Rick Grimes exited the series in episode 905. In the clip below from 913, well, this is where we see teasers of the fair, so that's how we know Oceanside is part of the plot. In the clip below from 913 of The Walking Dead, the kingdom prepares for the upcoming fair. This event is aimed to bring together each of the communities as a means to offer opportunities for trade and enhance each community's living situation and relationships. While Alexandria has been hesitant to join the event, the others have all signed up. Among those participating, Oceanside. Oceanside has been notably absent since Rick Grimes took off with Jadis in the first half of Season 9. Their story seemed to reach a worthy conclusion when their revenge mission against the Saviors was completed. There is a clip, and in the video, you see a banner from Oceanside hanging over the railing. That was from AMC's Twitter account a few days ago. It is unknown if Sydney Park will reprise her role as Cindy in The Walking Dead, as she has moved on to a Pretty Little Liars spinoff since her hiatus with the AMC Zombie series. So I guess we'll find out tonight. Like, truthfully, I really don't know. I hope so, Park told comicbook.com when asked if she would return. I love being a part of the show, and I feel like there's so much more story to tell, not only with my character and my tribe, but with everyone else. Park was hopeful fans will stay on board despite the looming loss of leading man Andrew Lincoln, because we have some really cool characters, she said. But I hope to be on the show more for sure. Title and synopsis and directors and all that stuff. That's all we really need to see for that. Joan has also mentioned a couple comments. We've got about 6 minutes, so I'm going to read these off. She says, I've ghostwritten articles in the past that have required comparison of show to comics, so I've learned more about them than I wanted to know about them. Joseph, what? You don't have bugs you can throw on a saddle on and ride? You can keep the snow, though. Well, the snow is kind of cool sometimes. I like it. I just don't like driving in it, and I especially don't like some of my extended neighbors driving in it because they don't know how. But yeah, no, when we were in Georgia, people had to warn me about palmetto bugs, and I really went a little postal because I got in the house. So yeah, y'all can keep those. Although I have to say, DC has its own bugs that are nowhere near as big, but super annoying and much more prevalent, which is gnats. And I'm actually allergic to bugs. So if I get like gnats in my eye and stuff, that's a problem. Barton, I needed a quick drink. All right, so let me see what else I can cover in the next 4 minutes or so. All right, writers and directors time. I'll see if I can get it all, but if not, I'll get what I can. So tonight's episode was written by Geraldine Inoa and Channing Powell, both of whom should be familiar names to you. Directed by Laura Belzy. We previously had bad data saying the director would be Jeffrey F. January. I don't know if they were deliberately not posting correct information or what, because obviously they wouldn't change that at the last minute. The director has to be there and plenty of notice. Jonah said, I was born in upstate New York, so I'm very familiar with the snow. Can't handle the cold anymore, though. Yeah, I have to say, Atlanta ruined me for this a little bit. Anyway, let's get to the writers and directors profile. So we'll do writers first. So Geraldine Inoa. Geraldine is a playwright and writer for theater and television and an activist based in Brooklyn. She currently writes for AMC's The Walking Dead. Her play Scraps was developed through the Labyrinth Theater Company's Up Next series, and she was a semifinalist for the O'Neill National Playwrights Conference. Scraps had its world premiere production at the Flea Theater as part of its 2018-2019 season, marking her professional debut. As a playwright, she is an alumna of the Public Theater's Emerging Writers Group and the inaugural recipient of the Shonda Rhimes Unsung Voices Playwriting Commission. She is an L. Arnold Weisberg New Play Award finalist, a P73 Playwriting Fellowship finalist, and a twice-named Eugene O'Neill National Playwrights Conference semifinalist. Her work has been developed at the Atlanta Theater Company and the Labyrinth Theater Company. She's a member of the Public Theater's 2016-17 Emerging Writers Group. She was a finalist for the 2017 Van Leer New Voices Fellowship at the LARC and winner of Pride Films and Plays 2016 Les Play Contest. Her work has been developed at the Future is Female Festival, the All Out Arts Reading Series, and the Gallatin Arts Festival. She holds a BA from New York University's Gallatin School of Individualized Study. She currently resides in Los Angeles and has been a staff writer for all of the episodes of Season 9, except those for which she wrote the actual script. Tonight is her second script writer's credit, the first one being Season 9, Episode 4, The Obliged. That was her first. All right, I'm actually going to pull over and give her a little applause for that one. Very good. And it's 8:58, so I probably can profile the other writer, and then I'll have to pause for the director. Channing Powell. Elizabeth Channing Powell is from Easton, Maryland, and her husband from McLean, Virginia. Powell graduated from Williams College with a bachelor's degree in film production. She's been married to Jonathan Edward Silverow since October 9, 2010. She got her start in the industry as an assistant on the television series White Collar. While she was there, she made her way up the ranks until she was staffed as a writer and eventually gained credits as an executive story editor. Powell has been a co-producer, producer, co-executive producer, or consulting producer for 95 episodes of The Walking Dead so far, starting with Season 4, Episode 1, 30 Days Without an Accident in 2013, up to last week's episode, Season 9, Episode 14, Scars. Channing Powell has written 16 Walking Dead episodes, starting with Season 4, Episode 5, Interment, in 2013 up to tonight's episode. In previous bios where we've covered her, we had some erroneous data giving her writer's credits that may have been incorrect. All right, I'm going to pause here because we are just about ready to go. And then I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Coming up at the break, we will do a profile for director Laura Belzy, and then we will continue on to trivia. So appreciate you guys hanging in with me, and I will see you at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:04, and we're already at the first break. I'm starting with 5.5. And Alpha is on the rampage, sort of. She's on a very subtle rampage. Joan was asking who these new characters were, and I didn't quite get to the trivia. So they will be mentioned in there. I'm going to go ahead and go with the profile for the director. Jones starts with a 6. I started with 5.5. I don't remember if I mentioned that, so let me make sure I got that in there. Okay, so the director for this episode, Laura Belsey, B-E-L-S-E-Y, and they're continuing the season 9 tradition of having new up-and-coming directors do an episode for the first time in the franchise. That's been happening over half of the time this season. It's kind of cool. Gives some new people exposure on the series. So little is known about Belsey's personal life. Belsey seems to, they say she was born in New Orleans, although her Facebook profile says she is from Nyon, Switzerland, N-Y-O-N. It's possible that she was, in fact, born in New Orleans, but didn't grow up there. So we'll see how that works out. She attended College Voltaire, the College Voltaire founded in 1914. I had to go write some trivia about this because I've never heard of it. Is a school of the Canton of Geneva, Switzerland, post-compulsory school, maturity school. From what I could tell, amounts to the equivalent of U.S. high school. So it was some kind of special high school in Geneva. She then majored in film and comparative literature at NYU. She was born in October of 65 and currently lives in New York City, as does a younger sister, Catherine. I did find a little on her personal life, and it was kind of spread out. Anyhow, Laura Belsey is a commercial, TV, and film writer, director, and producer known for Arrow in 2012, The Flash 2014, and The Walking Dead 2010. Other works, notably Preacher, Bull, Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, Criminal Minds Classic, NCIS New Orleans, and Unforgettable. One of her earlier notable works is the 2008 political documentary Katrina's Children about younger flood survivors. We have a Badlands trailer, so we may be going back in a second. I'll see what I can squeeze in here. She's directed multiple episodes of Law and Order Special Victims Unit, as well as serving as second unit director on Royal Pains. She has also directed hundreds of commercials and TV spots internationally for clients such as Swatch, Honda, IBM, IKEA, and many more. And I'm pausing to see if we're going back before I say any more. We are going back. I'll finish your bio at the second break. Okay, guys, 9:17, a little bit longer this time to break number 2. We've got our scores up. Joan is up to 7. I'm willing to go to 6.25 at the moment. Let me go back and grab some of our comments. I had made a little joke at the beginning as, oh, good, Ren Faire survived. I realize that with the technology level that they're at right now, a lot of things are going to seem like Ren Faire anyway, pretty much all the time. So, let me go back a quick second. I had to freeze the scroll back because Joe made a comment and I lost everything. So she says, I still don't trust that girl. We're talking about Lydia. And I said, my prediction, you know, she was raised by that sick bitch Alpha. And I think this entire thing with her is a lie and Michonne fell for it, which I think is set up for her to leave and for the Whisperers to attack. I think that she got information, but it wasn't enough, and so she's doing this as a ruse to get back in and is somehow getting that information to Alpha. And Jonah said, oh, crap, traveling back towards Hilltop will likely get ambushed because they're sending that little helper people to protect Hilltop. And then I mentioned, you know, we still have the Highwaymen as a plot. They gave those characters names and made quite a big deal, so I feel like the Highwaymen were going to be relevant to all this in a way later because they pointed at it too hard. And then I was making a joke about them signing this new pseudo-constitution. Oh, look, a Sharpie that's not dried out 16 years after the world went to hell. So that I just found that kind of funny. And then Joe says, I'm thinking Alpha and the Whisperers and prediction of Ezekiel is one of the deaths. Showdown between Carol and Alpha. Oh. You know, Alpha may be crazier and bigger, but my money is on Miss Carol, Queen Carol. And Joan says, right, they just keep that Sharpie in a hermetically sealed box for just such an occasion. I don't know, maybe they did. Completely not related to Sharpies, well, we have a Walking Dead Siri commercial. Oh, we do have a commercial. So let me see if I can finish Laura's bio here. Let me see where I left off. Yes, commercials. Belzy has received over a dozen major advertising industry awards for her work, including a Cannes Gold Lion and One Show Best of Show. One of her TV spots is now in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. Belzy currently serves on the Directors Guild of America, Eastern Directors Council, as an alternate on the DGA National Board, and as a partner at Shadow Pictures, a film company in New York City. She has 22 director's credits in IMDb since 2004, the bulk of her non-indie work really starting in 2013 with Law & Order SVU. Tonight is Belzy's first work of any kind within the Walking Dead franchise. So let me give her some applause as well for her work on the show. Thank you. So far, so good. Trivia about tonight's episode I can't read because we're back. I will try to squeeze it in at the third break. Okay, guys, 9:26. We are at break number three. Joan is remaining at 7 on her score. I'm at 6.5. And the only comment Joan typed is wondering if Connie lost a baby like Michonne did. I'm kind of thinking, yeah, or maybe had, you know, lost an infant when Michonne's little boy was, you know, at least walking, a toddler of some sort. Okay, so trivia time. Tonight is the 130th episode of the series overall, and according to comicbook.com, tonight's show will be extended, as we saw in the other article, until close to 10:30. So hopefully you guys can stay with us. Uncredited cast members for tonight. Micah King as Nebula's son. Kingdom Soldiers, Michael Lehman, Corey Gupton, Michelle Hartwig-Rich. Kingdom Residents, Suzanne Boone, Terry Jo Kennedy, Dana Rempe, Bob Lusher, and Joey Renfro. Mason Beard is an uncredited Alexandria resident. Bob Melton and Kinney M. Lee are Hilltop residents. Quande Stewart and Jamel Vaughn as Hilltop Distillers. Marisol Correa as an Oceanside resident and Rachel Hernandez as an Oceanside resident. Here are the new characters. First appearance of Alec, who is a highwayman played by Jason Kirkpatrick. First appearance of Hilda, a Hilltop resident played by Carolyn Duncan, and from what it seems like, the last appearance, but we'll get to that later. First appearance of Miles, also a Hilltop resident played by Brian Shepherd, and I believe Miles was the guy with Hilda. This is the 8th episode of the show to share its name with a comic volume, and this is okay. This is a comic thing we're allowed to talk about. After Days Gone By, Made to Suffer, This Sorrowful Life, Too Far Gone, No Way Out, A New Beginning, and What Comes After. And I don't follow the comics, so this might be common knowledge, but it's not for me. I've noticed that everything has a three-word title. So I don't know if that is a comic trope that they don't follow in the TV show. This episode's title is similar to the following episode, being put together from the common phrase, The Calm Before the Storm. This episode will mark Oceanside's return since their disappearance in the episode What Comes After. And we are back, so I'll get to last week's trivia at break four. I'm going to sneak some stuff back in because they teased us and they'll be back in a minute. Let me see what I can get from last episode's trivia. First appearance of Marcus, first appearance of Jonah, first appearance of Alex, which I already covered, so I won't go over that again. First and last appearances of Mitchell, Jocelyn, Gina, Linus, PJ, Winnie, and Jocelyn's group. You know, the little Charles Dickens and Fagin and the Orphans. I don't know what that ruffians. Anyway, I think we're going to be back in just a second, so... The title of the episode, Scars, refers to the origin of the X-Scars that were branded on Michonne and Daryl by Linus and Winnie. It also references Judith asking Michonne if her injury will scar Michelle, Michonne doubting it, but telling her that it would be fine if it did. Now we are properly back. I'll see you guys at the next break. Nine 34, and we are at break number four. I am creeping up, and Jonah's staying steady, so I have a feeling we're going to catch up next time. Jonah's at 7. I'm going up to 675. By the way, the TWD Rewards is Second Skin. If you're listening along and I don't know it because you're not in the chat room, so feel free to write that down when you go to twdrewards.com. Thank you, Joan, for catching the password because I missed it. She's also mentioned who's on Talking Dead, but I'm going down my list of notes, and I do have that in there, so I'll get to that in a hot second. And Joan has also added, whoa, Carol's going, and Ezekiel staying. Didn't see that coming. There's a couple of those. Okay, so we're in the middle of the trivia from last episode that we did not mention last time. This episode shows Michonne during her pregnancy with R.J. Grimes. It is revealed that Michonne recovered Rick's colt python from the riverbank while searching for him. The relationship between Jocelyn and Michonne closely parallels Shane and Rick's of how they were friends before the apocalypse and one had to kill the others. They became a threat to their groups. And I'm going to bring up the thing that I brought up last week, too damn late to be on the show. Michonne is not from Washington. It is possible, but really, really freaking thin deus ex machina that a good friend of hers from 15 years ago in Atlanta, where she's from, just so happened to have survived, just so happened to get up to D.C. of all places, just so happened to bypass all the other groups that they went and met up with along the way. And remember the six-year time jump. So in all of those 6 years and all of that time, she never caught the notice of any of the four kingdoms or the saviors or any of this other stuff, and boom, all of a sudden she's there. I call bullshit. I love this show, but it's an egregious plot flaw, this whole Michonne and Jocelyn thing. You should have made her from Atlanta or explains how they know each other from some other thing than that long ago. It's just, it's not possible. It was bad writing. Sorry, guys. Love you, but. Okay. This episode marks Frankie's return, who has not been seen since Wrath. In this episode, we find out that she has moved to Alexandria after the sanctuary fell and has adopted a daughter. Frankie. Who the hell? I'm very confused who Frankie is. Joan, help me out if you happen to know. Anyway, okay. In this episode, it is revealed that Jocelyn's group kidnapping Alexandria's children frightened the community so much that it chose to focus on protecting their own rather than helping others. It is shown that Negan's cell now contains a shelf of several books. He also has a small cushion he can sit on and read next to the bookshelf. Judith mentions Maggie Ree, indicating that she hasn't been told that Maggie moved away from the Hilltop Colony. Chloe Garcia-Frizzi reprises her role in the flashbacks as Judith Grimes for the first time since the time skip. She was the actress who played Judith prior to that. Jocelyn is the first named living character that Michonne has directly killed since Farron, all the way back in the first day of the rest of your life. She was, however, part of the group that killed Lance all the way back in Wrath. The location used to film the abandoned school is the same one used in Season 5, in which Gareth and other members of Terminus consumed Bob's leg. I remember that, outside the fence. The walker that grabs Judith near the end is played by Chris Hardwick, the host of Talking Dead. Aaron jokes that Daryl has basically become a dad due to his current role in the lives of Connie, Henry, and Lydia. Due to the jack-o'-lanterns, paper ghosts, and costumes that Judith and Gracie were wearing, it's possible that the flashbacks took place during Halloween. The note written in Judith's lockbox is written on a page from the book Game Day. This was the same book that Michonne read to Judith in the episode The Obliged. And we're back. I'll shut up. See you at break number five. 9:44, and we are at break number five. I am going to go up to 7, just as Joan has gone up to 725, of course. It's fine. So comments in between. Joan was helping look up who Frankie was. We were trying to figure out that last comment. And she thought she might be one of the former saviors. She's going to keep looking. And I know she has notes further down that I'll read where she did figure it out. I was fussing at Carol using the flashlight in the last scene was bad. I know that we are all used to using flashlights out in the woods, but when you're dealing with something like the Whisperers and even just normal herds that don't use that stuff in the evening, flashlights telegraph where living humans are. So I think this was a really bad idea. They should have done something else a little more restrained. Frankie was the redhead wife of Negan when they were with the Saviors. Not sure how she plays into here and now. There's the ambush. And Daryl's thinking, looking at Beta going, damn, you hard to kill. So Joan's at 725. I'm at 7. We are at a break for a couple minutes. So let me keep going with my trivia notes, and we'll see what else I can catch you guys up on from last week's episode. The last thing. Interesting that Michonne read the book to Judith in The Obliged, because The Obliged was – let me double check on this. Somebody else had just worked on The Obliged, and I can't remember who it was. Geraldine Inoa got her first scriptwriter's credit doing The Obliged. So I think that's kind of fun that they're connected. Last note, strangely, Tara did not make an appearance in the flashbacks of this episode, as she only left Alexandria after Michonne shut down the community due to the events in the flashbacks. So she would have still been around. I consider that something of a continuity error. Uncredited characters. Aside from the known actors from last week that I already mentioned, additionally we have Scarlett and Sophie, and their last names have been withheld. Those are the twin actresses that played young Gracie. PJ Henley was PJ. Ryan Newman as Jonah. Jaden McCollum as Frankie's daughter. Jeffrey Caponegro as Jocelyn's bandit, and Ansley Gower as Jocelyn's bandit. Deaths are Jocelyn, Mitchell, Linus, Gina, PJ, and Michonne's mother. It just confirmed fate. We didn't see it. It was mentioned. 7 unnamed members of Jocelyn's group off screen, and 1 unnamed Alexandria resident as part of the flashback. Goofs, errors, and bloopers from last week's episode, Scars. Despite extra Thomas Downing being killed off in this episode, he reappears live later after the time skip. Cast birthdays this week. Hopefully we have time to get them all, because there are several. This one is from last week, because I do it Sunday to Sunday, but if it's on the Sunday, I mention it. So, Keisha Castle Hughes, who played Joan, a patient at Grady. Birthday is March 24. She's from Donnybrook, Australia. Kaylee Presley Fleming, the older Judith Grimes, birthday will be tomorrow, so happy birthday for her. Pacayune, Mississippi. I don't know if I'm saying that right. I have no idea. Rich Ceraulo, C-E-R-A-U-L-O, who played Giro, a Savior Lieutenant. March 27th, it's from New York City. Scott Gimple, showrunner. I know we're back. I'm going to get these out of the way, though. March 29th, Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. Scott Wilson, who played Herschel, March 29th from Atlanta. And Jose Pablo Cantillo, Cesar Martinez in Woodbury, March 30th from Marshfield, Wisconsin. I will get to the rest at break number 6. Joan, are we at break 5 or break 6? Can't remember. I want to say 5, but I think that's wrong. Anyway, I'm going to 7.5 at this point, and there's a lot of oh hell no going on. Remember, we've still got almost a half an hour of show left because this is an extended episode, the penultimate episode, da-da-da, they keep saying. I'm going to go back and grab comments. As we see, Alpha is in a wig going through the fair, and then Joseph is not a wig unless you count her using the hair. She cut off that woman she killed. Ew. Okay, so now I'm confused because her face looked all discolored and all that other stuff, but I don't know if that's makeup. So now she's cleaned up and the hair is from that woman. I don't really understand her appearance change. There's no sign of a mask that she cut the woman's face off, you know, Hilda. So it looks like she just took her hair, and then her skin is normal underneath. I don't really understand how this all works exactly. Joan says, I know we don't care about the comics, but Alpha being at the fair is a parallel. Okay, that's fine. I got a kick out of Eugene mentioning that they were going to have an RPG, though, because that's just so Eugene. And everybody rags on him, but I have friends like him. I really get him. So, you know, I know I grew up with a lot of real genius types, Revenge of the Nerds types, so whatever, you know, fight me for it. Joan says, oh, there's Frankie. And yes, Hilda's hair, I think. And then I'd say, got turned around talking to my mom, she means, and I mean Lydia by that, when she says I got turned around. I know those kids pissed her off, but I'm pretty sure that she was coordinating things with her mom. Like that's how they found all this. And Joan says, oh, and the dress, too. Damn, she's really sick. And, yeah, Joan says she probably scalped Hilda like they skinned the walkers, hiding it with the hat. And run, Ezekiel. Yeah, Ezekiel walks off with her, and he hasn't come to the movie yet. And Joan says, you will meet Carol, especially if you take out the king. So I'm at 7-5. Joan is at 7-5 now. Joan says, oh, sure, ask the ex-English teacher to count the breaks. No idea, but I'm guessing 5. It's fine. And then she says, I think a clean face means that she's just washed the dirt off her face. Imagine it gets pretty dirty under the skin mask. Oh, I'm sure it gets dirty, but it looked like she left it that way on purpose or that her skin had become permanently discolored from doing that crap too much. That's what I thought had originally happened, but not really sure. Okay. So music notes. There were no other music notes other than what I said last week, which is a spoiler. The song used when Michonne goes out looking for Rick is Boy Genius by Souvenir. And unaccounted for characters I have trimmed back to Heath, Sherry, Dwight, Rick, Ann, Jadis, Maggie, and Morgan. Morgan, we know, is on Fear. Sherry and Dwight, well, Dwight at least is going to Fear. I imagine what became of Sherry is part of that plot line for him getting there. Rick and Ann or Jadis are off doing their whatever they're doing associated with the movie. Somebody has theorized that wouldn't it be interesting if they get this radio thing up again, that that is a way to connect to wherever Rick ended up, and that has to do with Michonne getting on the road to find him somehow. These are guesses. They're not confirmed. And if it is actually what happened, don't tell me, because I'm leaving it as a guess. But there you go. Talking Dead tonight, as you mentioned, will be former showrunner and now chief content officer Scott Gimple, Avi Nash, who plays Sadiq, and a surprise guest, and my guess is we have a major character death tonight, and it will be that actor. So, okay, still into the Badlands stuff. So, real quick, back half of season 9, next week is The Storm. The writer is Angela Kang, showrunner currently. Director is Greg Nicotero. That will be on March 31st, next Sunday. Hopefully you guys can join us. We're back. See you at break number 6. Break number 6. Let's go ahead and get those scores up. I'm going to hang out at 725 for a moment. And when you get a chance, Joan, feel free to score up as well. I'm going to lock the scroll so I can grab comments for you guys. Joan has added, pardon me. I love Eugene, and I still play RPG games, so he's my kind of people. Yes, I do too. She also said, I just thought she didn't wash until she had to for this disguise. Not sure now. Yeah, see, that's just it. I don't understand the back and forth with what's on her face. Joan says, living like animals means they get washed every so often anyway, like when it rains. Yeah, you know, nature washes them. And Joan says, yeah, looks like we finally got to see how Alpha can put up. And holy mother, now that's a herd. Now, if memory serves correctly, Rick has seen a gigantic herd in the D.C. area before down in a pit. And I don't know if that's the same one or not. Some kind of quarry that was near Alexandria. And I've also mentioned, why is she sniffling? You know, Alpha is sniffing like she's been doing coke or something. It's very odd. Either that or she's getting an illness. And the last thing Joan says, marked a border to the north. Oh, damn, I know that line. Yeah. I've caught little nibbles about what that might mean, and I'm a little nervous to go back. All right, we have a commercial, so let me go back to my notes because I know I still haven't finished. So we did Talking Dead, the back half. Don't have a start date for Fear Season 5 yet. It is either going to be early to mid-April, or it's going to be this summer so that it lines up with October. I don't know which, but see, that would have to be the back half. So I'm assuming it has to be first eight, early to mid-April, to then the end of May, and then we'll have a break during the summer. Also, speaking of Season 5 of Fear, as previously reported by The Inquisitor, there has been a recent new character announcement made. Karen Davis will join Season 5 as a character called Grace, and there's no other information about her except that she might be an antagonist. All right, I've already had my Michonne fuss with Jocelyn. And then where is Winnie, the girl who ran away last week of Jocelyn's little pack of urchins? She's got to come into this somehow. It'll be 6 years later, so she'd be a young woman. So they got to do something with that. I do have articles to discuss. We don't really have time for a lot of discussion, but one of these is somewhat interesting, so I'm going to pull it up and see if we have time to nibble at it. It's about Michonne's departure. As Chris Hardwick is talking, I guess he's saying, you know, who's going to be on and not saying who the surprise guest is, who I imagine is a major character that's about to die in the next half hour. This is from CinemaBlend.com, also by Mick Joest, J-O-E-S-T. And it said, did The Walking Dead just start setting up Michonne's eventual exit? He wrote this last weekend. And he says, the latest episode of The Walking Dead finally answered its big mystery about Michonne and Daryl's X-scars, but it definitely wasn't the only interesting bit concerning Alexandria's leader. During a frank discussion she had with Lydia, whom Michonne welcomed into the community, it almost sounded like Walking Dead had already started planting seeds for Danai Gurira's eventual exit. For those who need a refresher on what she'd said, take a look below. And she says, I've done things to protect this place. Some things I'm not proud of, some I try to forget to save my people. I had to risk others. It hasn't been easy, but it's what I had to do. I made my peace with that. Might be easier if the only life I had to risk was my own, if I could just walk away and take all the risk with me. If that could somehow make everyone else safe, that wouldn't be so hard. Think about that. And we're getting back into End of the Badlands trailers, so I have a feeling we're going to get cut off. And that's fine. I'm screwing around for a minute because I think that we're going to go back. And I'm correct. So you see you guys at break number 7. Okay, guys. Break number 7, 1025. I'm not going to go ahead and read that article this week because it's taken so long. They are going to Into the Badlands straight through and not doing Talking Dead until after this episode is over. But they said they were going to have a little clip from the season finale next week. I will go ahead and let you guys go. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully you can be here next weekend on the 31st when we have the season finale. So always appreciated. Thank you especially to Joan, who has always been helpful. And to those of you who are joining us later via iTunes or whatever else, thanks for joining us and see you next week.